And well, Ellen read from us there from Luke 24. And we read there, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." When we cast our minds back to that first Easter, of course, we never really think of Jesus' death without thinking of his resurrection. But if you can imagine these women who had followed Jesus from Luke 8 and eventually to his crucifixion and to his death, and then we're told they went to prepare spices and ointments, and they came to the tomb feeling probably mournful, numb, grief-stricken, and no body is there. Now, this account from Luke 24 is almost anticlimactic because we see their initial reaction was confusion and doubt. We know from John 20 that they thought someone had stolen the body. But then it's like the penny drops. They remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Christ has risen. God's power has raised Jesus from the dead. And that changes everything. And what I want to do now is just give you three very brief implications of Christ's resurrection for us today. Firstly, we have the power to live. Death is a taboo word, and many of us will avoid the conversation at all costs. We all enjoy happy ever afters. We don't like watching films that end with a death that leaves us feeling a bit flat and a bit down. If you have ever experienced watching someone die, or if you've had bereavement recently in your family, you will know all too well that something in our world is wrong. There's nothing at all that satisfies about death. We don't like death to be the end. None of us want death to have the final word. We know from Scripture that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ took the payment that was death, but praise God, he was raised that we may live. Christ has risen. Death is no longer a taboo. 1 Corinthians 15 makes it perfectly clear that if Christ has been raised, we that are in him, that is, we who believe in his resurrection, shall not die, but live. As Jesus himself said before raising Lazarus, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who believes in me shall never die." And of course, Jesus' resurrection was different to that of Lazarus, because Lazarus was raised, but of course we'd have to die again. Christ has been raised and will not die. And so too, those who are in him will be raised and will not die. Death did not have the final word on Christ, and death will not have the final word on us. One writer says that the resurrection of Jesus is a place where what we long for and what is real wonderfully collide. Every one of us, whether we claim Christian faith or not, I think it's fair to say that every one of us long that death will not be the end. And Christ has made this longing a reality. His resurrection power brings peace for those that are in Christ. It is not death to die, but rather it will be to join the saints at home with God, to wake in joy before his throne, delivered from our fears because Christ has risen. And Christ's resurrection, yes, is the power for us to live beyond the grave, and it is also the power and motivation for us to live here and now as we set our minds on things above, that is, on the life to come. For those who are not in Christ, we could call it secular living, if you like, that is, the goals and the drives and the ambitions, all hope is put in this life here and now. And of course, we don't need any evidence to know for certain
that if all hope is placed in the here and now, then all hope will be taken away in death. But we thank God that we can say in 1 Peter, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Secondly, Christ's resurrection gives us the power to die. Christ is not just alive, but he has been raised, and so is alive. In Acts 17, Peter says that God has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. In Romans 4, we read that Jesus was delivered up and raised for our justification. Jesus rising from the dead is proof that sin really is paid for. And while Jesus took the payment for sin, sin was not in control. But God, being fully in control, being true to his word through the prophets and through his Son while he was on earth, raised Christ and defeated sin and death and hell on the cross. The payment was final and the payment was complete. We are saved because of his death and resurrection together. Again, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ has not been raised, then we're still in our sins. But Christ has been raised. And so we too have died to the power of sin, to the control of sin. We now belong to another, that is to him who has been raised from the dead, Romans 7. We are now under the control and the power of the resurrected Lord. And so we have the power to die to self, we have the power to put sin to death, and to bear fruit for God. And this is the mark of those that are in Christ. They have the power to die. Lastly, we have the power to tell. I hope you realize that this is good news. If you have any type of good news, the natural reaction is that you tell someone. It's coming up to exam time, and when exam results come in, of course, parents call family and friends to say they have done well. I remember in our house, and my family are here today, that there was always a lot less phone calls when I got results compared to when my sister got results. So obviously the news wasn't as good. But however, when you hear good news, you tell it. When you realize who Christ is, you tell who he is. It's like a reflex. One results in the other. Belief leads to proclamation. Starting with the women who told the disciples, this domino effect kept happening as others saw Christ, as they realized what had happened and they told others. And so this is continuing to this very day. And of course, we know that Christ left his disciples the command to keep on doing this. The message of resurrection that we have, it's not some sort of pie in the sky, a lovely ending to the story, but it's the power for doing, it's the power for action. Our sins are forgiven, we have peace with God, we are assured of this. And so we don't occupy our time with trying to do this on our own, but simply we get on with telling others. And our message is very specific. Our message is Christ died and was raised again for our sins. And that gives us the power to live and the power to die. One thing is explicitly clear. Christ is true to his word. He said he would rise again, and he did. If you notice in the passage that Ellen read, Luke uses the Lord Jesus. He didn't use that all the way through the crucifixion narrative. Jesus is raised as Lord and Judge, and he will come again to judge the world. Paul in Acts 17, he says, God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man who he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Maybe you're here this morning and you've heard this message time and time again, yet you still refuse to accept the power of the resurrected Christ. Can I encourage you, put your faith in him this morning, that you may know the power to live, the power to die, and the power to tell. Let's pray together. Father, we bless you again for your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you raised from the dead. We thank you that for us who are in him, that indeed it is not death to die. And Father, for those who are not in him, I pray that you would speak into hearts, into minds, into lives, and that they would see and know who Jesus Christ is.